So, moving on. Next up, we have a series of small little lightning talks that will tell you all about each track and sort of suggest some things that you should check out over the course of the week. Xiaowei will talk about scalability. Sarah will talk about design. Brian will talk about privacy. Joseph about Prague so fine. Piper is developer experience. Bryant is security, yeah. Reese covers society and systems. It's some lightning talks right now. First up is Xiaowei. Here she comes.
Hello everyone, this is Xiaowei, I'm one of the creators of Scalability Track. Thanks to all of you, Ethereum community is growing fast. This is the Ethereum DApps growth statistics from DApps, State of the DApps. So many amazing DApps are being researched, developed, and released every month, every day. We need Ethereum, the platform, to be scaled to support all these good innovations. This year in DEF CON, our speakers will talk about those scaling solutions and integration topics. We have like the layer one, we now call that Serenity, and the sharding, the upgrades of the Ethereum base protocol. And some layer two solutions, like we have channels, plasma, sidechains. Another important area is the some fancy cryptography can be used for scaling. And moreover, more integrations for scaling, like we have the Swarm, Lightcline, client optimizations, and some data availability proof mechanism research could be used for improve the scaling solutions. So let's start from the layer two solutions. Josh will bring us his talk, Making Sense of Layer Two. It's an overview that talks that help us to compare the different types of scale, layer two solutions. He will introduce that what's the trade-off and difference between them. And some of them you can actually build with right now. And more about the layer two. Tomorrow morning, we will have the state channel breakout. What's the different types of them, and what's the use case of state channels? And this morning, we will have the plasma breakout. Plasma is 1 year old now, and the plasma researchers and developers, they are here to share the plasma updates and what the developer needs to know before they actually using the plasma technology. And day two, we also have random network hands-on coding workshop. It's a chance that you can join the workshop hand by hand, step by step, and build all the payment channel with them. And the zero-knowledge proof is not only used for privacy problem. It could also apply to the scaling solutions. You may have heard the ZK-SNARK and ZK-STARK. Barry Whitehead is here to introduce his work with SNARK for scaling. Yes, Barry Whitehead is real. He's somewhere here. And we can use ZK-SNARK technology to have thousands transactions per second right now. And for Stark, this afternoon, we have Professor Ellie Bensasson from Starkware for the Stark workshop. So compared to Stark, Stark has some better properties like its transparent zero knowledge proof. So it's hard to understand immediately. So please join the workshop and to learn it. So the last, what's going on with Serenity? It's the layer one protocol change. So today is more about the overview. Vitalik just gave a wonderful keynote speech. And this afternoon, we have Card.Tech Crypto Economic at Scale in this room. Day two is more about research. So two important requirements for the ETH2O sharding or Serenity. One is the P2P networking. Yannick Ruem and Kevin Cha will talk about the sharded network design. And another important topic is the random number generator. Our core researcher, Justin Drake, is here, and he will give you an update of the randomness research. Day three is more about the client implementation. We have Raul Jordan from Prismatic Labs. He will introduce their Golem implementation. And Robert Hampermeyer is here. He's from Parity Technologies. He will introduce their ETH2O implementation with the Substract library. So sorry we don't have time to highlight every talk here. So please check the agenda and enjoy it. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bryant. I helped organize the security track for DEF CON this year. I'm one of the organizers of the ETH Security Initiative that we started back in May and collaborate on the security SecureF developer guidelines. Currently work as a smart contract engineer. Before I found myself in Ethereum, I had worked at as a flight control software engineer at a company founded by this man, Igor Sikorsky. Like many of you in this room, Igor was a pioneer in a burgeoning industry, often test piloting his own aircraft, including the first helicopter ever to fly. Those early days were full of much discovery and disaster, but over a long and problematic history, aerospace has found itself to be one of the most trustworthy ways to travel. Flight software in particular has moved from basic pilot assist to fully autonomous flight over the past 40 years, and many consider it some of the most robust software that exists, safely carrying millions of passengers a day to their destinations. I learned a lot from working at security at Sikorsky, but the biggest thing that I learned was that bug-free software was a myth. It takes a lot of work to make software that deals with human lives. This required a transition of thought from a builder's mindset to an engineer's mindset. Understanding the system as a whole means understanding its strengths and its weaknesses. While it is impossible to make bug-free code, it is possible to design systems with a robust tolerance to failure, which gives the strongest possible foundation for success. From that experience, I took away four critical aspects of a robust design. First, the discipline to craft each and every line of code you write to the best of your abilities. This includes following the guidance of those who came before you and using the best tools you have to fill in the gaps. Second, to think deeply about the potential for failure and what you are building. Plan how you can best respond to those failures or how to prevent them from happening in the first place. Third, to work with your peers as much as possible. Robust software is not designed by one person. It takes many diverse viewpoints to be successful. We should all be asking for feedback from one another. And finally, that experience is the best teacher. When you are building something for the first time, resist that urge to test in production if possible. And if it is impossible, limit the risks you expose yourself and others to. Make sure to share what you've learned with the community because this is the best way to improve our discipline. We need to make sure that we reinforce this mindset as we grow. To support this shift in mindset, we designed programming for DEF CON this year that would help you gain exposure through hands-on experience. Over half our schedule is filled with workshops exploring smart contract vulnerabilities, design, and analysis using the latest state-of-the-art tools. Tomorrow morning, we'll have a security review preparation workshop that you should attend, even if you have never participated in a security review or audit before. It will make you a better smart contract engineer by better understanding the processes expert reviewers conduct when they do a security audit. On the main stage later today, we will have an excellent talk about the security incentives and expose some major design flaws and how they can be fixed. We'll follow that up tomorrow evening with a panel asking hard questions about some of the biggest issues facing Ethereum security. We hope this programming will help you along in your journey in gaining the skills you need to be the best at your craft as possible. If we all guide each other in thinking critically about our security issues, they won't be issues much longer. Also, go Viper.
Hello, everyone. Does everyone know, like, it's Halloween today? Because I just found out this morning, and I happen to have a full pumpkin suit from David S. Pumpkins. So, yeah. All right, let's get going. I'm giving the overview on the privacy track. Just a little bit about me. I've been in the cryptocurrency space for a bit, worked at a bank. Now I'm at the Ethereum Foundation, co-founded Oaken Innovations, an IoT company. I have a wife, Laura, and three wonderful cats, Vivian, Fry, and Lilu. All right, so we got various definitions for privacy if you're not aware of what it is. So I just try to make it real simple, nothing too advanced. It's just, you know, wanting to be left alone. It's wanting freedom from interference and intrusion. It's wanting your data to be private and held with yourself instead of with companies and things like that. So I think this is really important stuff. I really believe that things like the Equifax breach and other major, you know, hacks and events really show that privacy is a very important topic, and that all these companies have all this data that can be leaked really easily about you. Oh, thanks. All right. Our personal data creates a picture, our identity. You know, you go to Google and they use cookies and other things to save what you're searching, to save you know, data about you, and create this picture that they can sell to governments and corporations and other companies. And we really need to take the web back and do something about it. I think there's a lot of people here who are doing a lot of great talks about privacy, which I'm going to go over in a second. And I think that it's just a really important thing for all of us to understand and learn more about. And the people here, they're building the future. They really are. So here are some of the talks that are going on. We got Snarks, Starks, and More. That's kind of a privacy cryptographic thing that's like black magic. I have no idea how it works, but it's really cool stuff. There's going to be Eli Ben Sassoon, who's an expert in that. The famous Barry Whitehat, he is here. We got smart contract privacy, including Stéphane Gosselin and Peter Zigzali, talking about how to hide transactions on the Ethereum blockchain and make sure that the metadata doesn't affect other things about it. We got privacy fundamentals. We got Brewster Kahle here, The Web We Want. It's going to be an amazing talk. Go look at the description. You're going to be blown away. And the Hellhound Escape Game. The most exciting thing on this is the Hellhound Escape Game, I'm pretty sure. If you all know what an escape room is, you have to solve puzzles in order to find a key to get out of the room. And there's a room set up here with like a piano and couches and all kinds of like puzzles and clues that are all cryptography related. So you're going to have a great time. There's a sign-up sheet right outside the room. You can look at the guidebook app to see where it's located. I also want to just like plug the guidebook app real quick and all the other stuff we got going. If you go to devcon4.ethereum.org/app, we have this mobile app. We also have a web version. We also have a Google Sheets version. So whatever you like to do, we got conference maps. We got schedules. You can add talks to make your own schedule. We got all kinds of stuff. You can even, you know, click on the location and it sends you to the right place on the map. I think it's a great thing. You should download it. You should use it. And I hope that everyone has a great time at DevCon. I know the team's really excited about putting this together. And yeah, everyone have a great time. Thank you.
Hi there. I hope everybody's having a good first day of their DevCon. I am Piper Merriam. I lead the Python team at the Ethereum Foundation. And today I'm here to talk to you about the developer experience track. I'm part of a larger curation team, which was either lazy or concise, because we had roughly one metric that we were shooting for this year. How we onboard the next million developers. If we want to see the platform get the adoption that we want, then we need to bring on a lot more devs, a lot more people who work in this industry. And in order to do that, we need better tools, we need better educational material around our tools, and we need tools that we don't know that we have yet, or that we don't know that we need yet. So there is a lot of good stuff in our track. There are tons of good talks. We are quite workshop heavy, which was very intentional. We wanted people to have hands-on experience to learn how to use these things. So I'm going to highlight two things which are sort of the same thing. One of them is for people who like Python or who maybe want to learn Python. Some of the things on this slide are a lie, like today is not Tuesday. But if you went to the Viper talk yesterday, or the Viper workshop yesterday, you learned a little bit about an upcoming language for writing smart contracts. Today there's a great talk from one of my teammates, Jason Carver, a workshop from one of my teammates, Jason Carver, about how to use the Python Web3 library. And then tomorrow there is a great workshop on package management, which, by the way, is not just a Python-based thing. Similarly, if you like JavaScript, you can do roughly the same thing. Again, my slides are a lie. It is not Tuesday, but there are a lot of great workshops this week on how to use various of the multiple development frameworks available for JavaScript. And similarly, there is JavaScript tooling in this smart contract packaging workshop for packaging those contracts up. And I'll highlight one more thing, which is that the package management workshop is not just for beginner type things. If you are a member of a team with a product or with a set of smart contracts that you want people to be able to use, show up and do this. I may be overstating it, but I believe that if you go to this workshop, at the end of it, you will have an on-chain package registry behind an ENS name with your smart contracts packaged up and deployed and available for consumption over these new APIs that are being developed. Again, there are a ton of really good talks in our track. Look in the guidebook. There is lots of stuff on all kinds of fantastic tools. Open source block explorers, multiple development frameworks, all of these different things. So I hope to see you at some of them. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. So I am Sarah Mills. And over the past few months, I've been working with Mamie, Alex, Beltran, Johnny, and Tara to bring this brand new track to you. So why do we need this? Why do we need a UX and design track? This community is working so hard building and shipping and experimenting, and I think we're all in agreement that a certain level of mass adoption needs to be achieved. So how do we get there? Well, after a highly scientific Twitter and Google search, it seems like people are pretty sure one of the answers is UX. We really just need to sprinkle some UX on this. But honestly, what does that mean? You know, how do we get there? What does that look like? The truth is, everyone here is a designer. Design is simply the rendering of intent. Everyone here makes decisions that affect user experience. It's really important that you view yourself that way as well. Now, we might have some people that are going to say it takes years of training to be a designer, and that's true, to be a good designer. There are processes that we learn and refine and iterate upon to make sure that we have successful, consistent outcomes. But we're not going to get very far by partitioning and isolating design and designers or saying that UX is somebody else's job. And I think that we have a really unique opportunity in this particular ecosystem. Because there is so much to learn and understand, and there's no one person that knows everything about everything. We are always leaning on each other and teaching each other. And so that's why we're so happy to be included here in the first UX and design track. What are we hoping to achieve? One, to spur transformation by sharing insights and lessons learned. To connect with each other, create community, and blur the lines between designers and developers. To provide interactive ways of learning design methods for Web3. Highlight tools, people, resources, and examples of good design. And our biggest goal is that everybody leaves DevCon inspired with actionable insights and things that they can do right now to improve their DApps user experience. So I've grouped these talks and workshops and panels into what you should expect to be doing in them and what you should come away with. First is the how-to and process talks. So what is a design mindset? What should you know and what tools can you use to build for a better user experience? Next is learning by doing, and you know that's one of the most effective ways to absorb not only traditional design methods, but the new ways we're coming up with for designing for Web3 users and testing your ideas. Stories are another excellent way of learning which behaviors and tactics to emulate and which to avoid. So learn from both the successes and the mistakes of some of the more prominent products in our ecosystem. You all probably know about some of the major stumbling blocks for novice users, the things that we must fix right now. Come actively work on these. All levels of experience are welcome, but we ask that you show up on time to get the full experience and be ready to do some rapid prototyping. But you can get help right now with your DApp. So in Wisteria, we have UX audits all week long. And you can get help improving your general user flow, but also with things like language and copy and onboarding and transaction experiences. So you can sign up at this link, or you can just go to Wisteria. And while you're at Wisteria, you can submit your DApp for the UX awards. And the ceremony for the awards will be Friday on the stage. So it's an excellent opportunity to showcase what you've been doing. Submissions close Thursday at noon. So again, go to this link or just go to Wisteria. We want to thank the Ethereum Foundation for having the foresight and inclusiveness to make design part of this conversation. Thank you.
Hello, world. What up? So my name is Reese, and I'm going to talk about the system, society and systems track. But before I do that, first I want to give a big thank you both to all of you for being here, to Prague for hosting us, and to Yosef, who's going to talk about that, and especially to the Ethereum Foundation. And Mamie, come out here. She's done so much work for this. Let's give her a round of applause. Yay, Mamie. Seriously, a lot of work. So with that, let's talk about, first, this is me. That is my crypto Twitter handle. I work for the MIT Media Lab in their digital currency initiative as a head of community and long-term societal impact. And I'm here to talk about the society and systems track. So what is this and why is it important? I think Aya touched on some of these things in her talk, but the main idea is that tech changes society, right? You can see this with some of our Web 2.0 things, and kind of a negative example here where you have the affordances of tech, the zero marginal cost of information transmission, plus the incentives of tech and the attention economy that pretty much naturally led to something like surveillance capitalism. So you have that, and you also have society changing tech, where you have something like your Creative Commons. It's like a positive example of this, where you have a good mindset plus some legal frameworks that inform how tech works. So in general, we can think of this as tech changing society and society changing tech, and this is like the system that we all live in. And that's essentially what we're going to be talking about in the society and systems track, but I want to kind of put this in language that you might be able to understand with Biddle. So we have Biddle. This is the tech that we are all trying to build. Before Biddle, we have Why Biddle, which is a stupid meme. And the idea with Why Biddle is saying, well, why are we building these things? What are our goals? What are our values? This is how society and our mindset can kind of change and shape the technology that we build. And then on the other side, you have Impactle, which again is
kind of sad. But the idea is similar, where we say, once we have tech, how is it actually impacting society from a macro-systemic perspective, from like a micro-personal perspective, what changes is it having? So in this track here at DEF CON, we're going to kind of bucket the things into those two big categories. On the Y-Biddle side, this is asking questions like, what are our goals? What are the ends? What are the outcomes that we're trying to achieve here? And there's a great talk tomorrow by Liv Borey, who's going to be talking about how to maximize your impact and a framework for thinking about that. Woo! Then there's also, we're going to also be talking about the value side. So these are the means. This is how you go about doing the things that you do. And there's going to be a nice values breakout later this week to chat about this. And this is part of a series of, we have a lot of cool interactive workshops that are happening, so definitely check those out. But so this is the Y-Biddle side. This is how will society change technology. And then we also have the impactful side. And for impactful, this is, again, this question of what are the incentives that we have? What does the technology allow us to do? What are the affordances of the technology? And how does that lead to emergent behavior? Something like FOMO3D or kind of r/place is an example of this. And you can think of this from a macro perspective, a macro systemic perspective, and say, hey, these networks of value that we're building, how will those co-evolve with existing institutions that we have in the world? And you can also think of this from like a micro personal perspective, where you say, how does this technology change our own relationship with the power, with needs, and with identity? So we have a bunch of great talks that touch on these things as well. And as Aya mentioned as well, we have a lot of great people who have been thinking about how tech changes society from for all of our digital lives, people like Brewster Kahle, people like Stuart Brand, people like Cory Doctorow. So definitely check those out as well. Again, how will technology change society? So with that, definitely check out the track on the interwebs. And please come to a society and systems thing, because you need to know the direction of where you're biddling and not just build. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joseph. I'm organizing Bracketeer meetups, and it's my great pleasure to be able to welcome you here to Brack. I kind of like numbers, so let's start with a few numbers. We have a Brack Blockchain Week going on here. It's kind of weird because, well, you know, like weeks usually have 7 days, but ours has 10. There is over 60 events happening around the town, and we're expecting something between 4,000 to 5,000 people to be here surrounding the conference and like all of the events. The most important thing is this is all community effort. Like all of the events are organized by you, by like people sitting in a room. So thanks a lot for that. What shouldn't you miss during this week? I mean, like you already heard what is awaiting for you here at DEF CON, all the tracks. But if you just want to explore the city, you can go to one of these websites. If you go to prageblockchainweek.cz, it's kind of long but easy to remember. If you go to guides, tours, events, or restaurants, you will find some hopefully useful stuff there. So, I mean, like, I like DEF CONs for all of the tech talks, but also kind of for the fun. So I'm not going to bother you with more tech stuff. These are all the parties that you can visit today. Today's Halloween, so like RaveCon artifacts are definitely going to be huge. Tomorrow there's a bunch of more, and Friday is kind of like easy peasy, you know, just drinks. I mean, this was all of the important stuff. Now let's just have some fun. This is a quick lesson of Czech, so this is how it goes. I'll read the English part, then say the Czech part, and I'll ask you all to repeat the Czech part after me. Is that right? So this is how we say hi. Ahoy. It's pirates. Thanks. Děkuji. Well, this was good. Another one. Please. Prosím. Quite good. And something useful for tonight. Two beers, please. Dvě piva, prosím. This was good. You'll do good. you know, for like special occasions when you want to just like chat in town with locals, here are some more useful phrases. You know the drill. I'm a developer. Isem vivoyar. I thought this one was tricky, but you got it. This one is easy. To flirt. Flirtovat. You're good at this. Beat. Trava. This was kind of surprisingly good. You guys have been practicing this. To complain about prices, mluvit o cenách. It didn't go too well, right? So let's just finish this up with one kind of nice phrase that you can use tonight. This will be tough, but try. I'm a developer who flirts, smokes weed, and talks about prices. Jsem vývojář, co flirtuje, kouří trávu a mluví o cenách krypta. Come on, guys, give it a try. All right, that's it. Thank you so much for coming to Prague. This is really a dream come true for me and for all the people from the local community. Thank you so much.